हरे कृष्णा, सबका स्वागत है। अलग अलग खाली स्थान से आया है। नहीं, सब भारत से आए हैं। नहीं, भारत तो खाली स्थान हो गया है। दिल्ली से आए हैं और Where else? Gujarat from different places. Mumbai is definitely Khalistan. Or from England, some devotees came. Or Bhopal, Hoshangabad. Bhopal se kon aaya? Koi aaya hai? Bhopal se. Or Hoshangabad se. Narmada. नर्मदा आया है, आई नहीं, आया। नर्मदा दास आए हैं। सम्मान भक्त है, वैष्णव। सो हरे कृष्णा, वेलकम टू ऑल फ्रॉम साउथ इंडिया। एनीवन केम जस्ट नाउ? गौरनिताय, गौरनिताय और श्यामा कृष्ण आंध्र प्रदेश से अभी अभी आए। सो वी गोइंग टू स्पीक फ्रॉम भगवद गीता चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट 34। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवत गीता एज इट इज ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद, चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट 34। इनको देना, मिल गए ऑलरेडी। सो या तद्विधि प्रणिपातेन परिप्रश्नेन सेवया उपदेक्ष्यन्ति ते ज्ञानं, ज्ञानिनस्तत्त्वदर्शिनः। जस्ट ट्राई टू लर्न द ट्रूथ बाय अप्रोचिंग ए स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर, इंक्वायर फ्रॉम हिम सबमिसिवली एंड रेंडर सर्विस अनटु हिम। The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Purport. The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord, therefore, advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord Himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam says, Dharmang tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help lead one to the right path, nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master, and when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only should one hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one must also get a clear understanding from him in submission and service. A bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind toward the disciple. Therefore, when the student is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. You might have noticed that submission and service and inquiries, it states there. It probably is translated like that also, but I didn't say and inquiries because Prabhupada didn't say that. It's a strange construction linguistically in the English language. So I inquired to the editors, and they said, well, they checked, and they said, actually, Prabhupada didn't say that. It's someone added it later because they submission and service, and someone thought they should add inquiries also. Just as a technical point. Today is a very auspicious day. The celebration of the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, the celebration is tomorrow. It's supposed to be Jagannath Mishra Mahotsav. The Mahotsav is tomorrow. The fasting is today. But anyway, for devotees, every day is a festival. I was informed by a devotee who's in Mayapur that they're not doing any special celebration today. They're going to do it tomorrow, which is a new thing. And he got caught out because he's leaving tomorrow. We could maybe consider that also. But then we, anyway, on Gopurim, we can have all day kirtan. Anyway, you don't want to go anywhere unless you want to engage in, get your clothes all colored and this and that. Anyway, it's a very good day for initiation. Traditionally, the date and time of initiation would be seen in advance by astrological ascertaining. We find that also in Chaitanya Bhagavat, when Gadadhar was to take initiation from Pundarika Vidyanidhi. It's found out the auspicious date to do that. But for devotees, everything is auspicious. And especially this day is a very good day. This is also the anniversary of the founding of the Sri Chaitanya Math and the on 1918. And when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur accepted sannyas, his sannyas diksha was on this day, just 1918 to 2018. So it's 100 years today. Very auspicious. The whole of ISKCON came out of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his Sri Chaitanya Math, which was later expanded into the Gauriya Math. Oh, we just read one of the most famous verses in Bhagavad Gita, at least among ISKCON devotees, because Srila Prabhupada often quoted it. He put a lot of emphasis on the guru-disciple relationship. We'll find in his writings and in his discussions, he spoke on this and wrote on this considerably more than previous commentators on the Bhagavatam, someone has made some analysis that Srila Prabhupada emphasized this considerably more than previous commentators on Bhagavatam. Of course, Srila Prabhupada's commentary was more elaborate than anyone, at least among the prominent commentators whose commentaries are still extant. But Srila Prabhupada emphasized this, we can understand that in the Western countries there's no idea of guru-disciple relationship, just no idea whatsoever. Or the idea that one should be submissive to someone else. No idea. Voluntarily submissive. It's not part of the Western culture. And even the Gauriya Mutt came under attack from Western educated intellectuals in India, from Indians, who were promoting the struggle for Swarajya, Indian independence. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wasn't interested in Indian independence. As you know well, that Srila Prabhupada, when he first went to have darshan of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he argued with him that, okay, it's nice to preach the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but India is a country in bondage, and who will listen to Chaitanya's message when it's coming from a country that's a slave of others? And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that this message is so vital that it cannot wait for any political adjustment. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur went against the general intellectual stream of Bengali life. The Bengali intellectuals especially. What happened was the British especially concentrated on educating Bengalis with the idea that they'd all become their slaves. But they did in one way intellectually, but in another way they learned the idea of dignity and independence, and the British had the idea that they'll learn all the ideals from us and then become more submissive to us. But they learned about democracy, and they said, hey, why are we subordinate to you? And the Bengali intellectuals, they were prominent in the Indian independence struggle. Many Bengalis. Vivekananda was into that, although he died early. Some good things in Kali Yuga. And Aurobindo was another. There are some, and of course Netaji Subhash Chandra Bose, among others. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he said, following Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said that, well, the British are ruling, we have no argument with them. So the Gauriya Mutt was lampooned and lambasted, criticized, you can say, in ordinary terms, as promoting a slave mentality. Gulami. It's more. Sevak is a good word, but gulami is not so much. So, and he says, undignified to be slavish to the British. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Dhaka, he gave a lecture that the Gauriya Mutt stands for the dignity of the human race. That to be a slave of Krishna is to be in the most dignified position. So this idea that we should all be independent and do your own thing and think for yourself, which is very much part of the Western psyche. It doesn't foster the guru-disciple relationship, which is still very strong in India, despite so many cheating gurus. I mean, apart from the cheating gurus who have been, we can say pretty much all the gurus who are not promoting Krishna consciousness are cheating. But some of them have been exposed as being cheaters in a very gross sense. In India, a guru can get away with almost anything except sexual exploitation. That's still not liked, and they'll be largely rejected for that. So there have been quite a few. There was one who was very popular in Gujarat, who was exposed for his... Well, there were other things also. Murders also. That also is not very much appreciated. But that's not liked at all. But still, despite all that, there's still a very strong idea of submission to guru, spiritual guru, religious guru, and also in the sense of elders, parents. That's, of course, breaking down more and more, but it's still there, quite prominently, in Indian culture, whereas it's not there at all. It's really not there at all in the Western culture, especially that coming from Britain and America and so on. And the further west you get, the worse it gets, literally. So Srila Prabhupada emphasized this very much. I'm, of course, speaking about this because we're having an initiation ceremony today. And it really, initiation means to accept a spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada, he used this term spiritual master to translate the word guru. Prabhu? Master means... It's like Malik and Gulam, something like that. Both Urdu words, Swami, yeah, like that. It really means to submit oneself. And Srila Prabhupada, he emphasized that. That... Even though the idea of having a guru is still quite prominent in the Indian culture, but it's often taken very cheaply. Srila Prabhupada often said that one shouldn't take a guru like having a pet dog. In this regard, one of my godbrothers told me many years ago, I think this must have been in the 1970s, that he had approached a member of one of the biggest industrialist families in India. And my godbrother, he was speaking to that Biela, is one of the Bielas, who he was talking to him about our guru. I said, yeah, we also have our guru. We just sent him on a tour of South India. Send him on a... No, he was talking actually about, because we're preaching, because he was trying to avoid giving a donation. So, and we're preaching. Yeah, we're also, you see, we're also sponsoring preaching. We send our guru on a preaching tour of South. The idea we sent him means probably they financed it and this and that, but we sent him. Not that... There's a whole kind of language that one should learn to use in spiritual circles. Instead of saying, we send our guru, it should be, one had to speak in a more roundabout way, that we were fortunate enough to have the opportunity to serve our guru in such and in this way. And if you want to make it more like we were fortunate enough to serve the dust of the lotus feet of our guru. This is the way of speaking, to always enforce the difference between the guru and the disciple, and the sense of that the service, it's not something forced or unpleasant, but it's considered a great opportunity to be able to do so. So Srila Prabhupada emphasized this very much, and in my talks and my life and my giving initiation, I also emphasize something, having firm faith that what everything that Srila Prabhupada said and did and gave to us is perfect, and that by following Srila Prabhupada's directions, we will get all perfection. That I have nothing of my own to give. I didn't come directly from the spiritual world to save you. I came directly from the hellish world. Srila Prabhupada saved me. When I say this, that we should follow Srila Prabhupada, that enforces or reinforces within some devotees faith in myself, and some call it fanaticism. See, that's the slave mentality idea coming. You shouldn't fanatically follow. Most Srila Prabhupada, disciples of Srila Prabhupada today, we can observe, especially those in prominent positions, seem to feel very uncomfortable with many of the statements that Srila Prabhupada often made, especially those lambasting the rascals, calling people rascals, promoting traditional roles within society of men and women. You feel many of the devotees seem to be very uncomfortable with this, and they even have the idea that we shouldn't say such things because we don't want to upset people. And if we upset them, then we can't preach to them. You can't preach to them because you might upset them. But if you preach, the idea is that preaching is guaranteed to upset others. It might do, but still we have to preach. We have to speak what is required for people to hear. If we speak what they like to hear, then we also become pet dogs of the foolish masses. So we have to speak this, and that's Srila Prabhupada mentions here that one has to pass the test of the spiritual master. So it is a test to be a disciple of mine, that you have to be prepared to. Well, it's the test of any disciple of any guru. They have to be prepared to accept what the guru says. Of course, the prospective disciple has to test the guru also to see if they fit to see if he fits the criteria of a guru, that he follows his own guru and sadhus and shastra. That's the test, both in his speaking and in his activities. Achinoti yashastrani achare sthapyatyapi swayam acharate yasmad acharyas tena kirtitaha. This is the meaning of the word acharya. He acts according to shastra. He establishes that what is following Shastra by his own behavior. So the disciples should test the guru, and the guru should test if the disciple is actually prepared to be a disciple. That testing means that you have to live on the terms and conditions given by the guru, not that the disciple gives the terms and conditions. I will bless you by becoming your disciple, but you have to do what I think and want, and you have to indulge me in this way and that way and another way, and then you will be fortunate enough to have me as your disciple. That kind of approach is useless. So the guru has to see if the disciple is actually ready to follow, to be a disciple. There may be other reasons that one becomes a disciple other than becoming submissive to a guru. One reason is that when you've been around some time in Krishna consciousness, people say, oh, you're not initiated yet? Oh, you're not initiated. And then your status goes up once you get initiated. And when you get Brahmin initiation, it goes up quite a lot. So that's one possible motive for wanting to accept what is called Brahminical initiation. So the guru has to see if the disciple is actually serious. We hear stories of guru, not Vaishnav. Vaishnav gurus don't do this kind of thing, but of the guru, Buddhist guru in Tibet, sitting in a cave, and he makes the disciple. Someone wants to be a disciple, he tells him no, and then after 3 days standing outside in the snow, somehow or other he's not dead, and he says, okay, you can be a disciple. So we don't do that kind of thing. Although this Goshtipurna, he gave Ramanuja had to come 18 times, walking from Srirangam to, what's the name of that place, Sarveshwar? It's quite a long walk from Srirangam. He walked 18 times before Goshtipurna said, okay, I'll give you the mantra. So he refused him 17 times. We generally don't give that kind of severe test, but Srila Prabhupada did often test disciples according to their ability to accept the test. He would give heavy tests. See, the movement spreading all over the world so quickly didn't come just from devotees sitting around and chanting Hare Krishna. They did all kinds of amazing things on Srila Prabhupada's order. One of the most well-known disciples of Srila Prabhupada was Tamal Krishna Goswami. He was a very heavy person, as anyone who knew him or knew anything about him knows. He was very, very heavy with others. But he took it from Prabhupada also. Prabhupada was very, very heavy with him. He said that he will go through fire to serve Krishna. So that's the test of a disciple. He did things which others couldn't do. He was 3 years as GBC in India. In those days, it was a very, very difficult service for various reasons. Whereas several others came and they couldn't even make it for 3 days. Literally, two other big leaders came and they couldn't handle it at all. So he was heavily tested out on the streets, day and night. Day after day, in the cold, in the rain, devotees would go out on Harinam Sankirtan, getting arrested by the police, being abused, and sometimes physically assaulted. That doesn't happen nowadays very much, but it used to. It was in the early days of ISKCON in the West. Devotees were sent. They've been in the movement just a few weeks, and they'd be sent, okay, go to Japan. Japan? They don't know a word of Japanese. Go here, go there, start the movement. So it wasn't easy, but that was the test that Srila Prabhupada gave. And devotees, if they accepted that, they became strong. Otherwise, if you're not prepared to surrender to Srila Prabhupada's order, then you just collapse. Disciple was dying. She was 13 years old. She came to Prabhupada with her mother, who was also initiated. And she was completely disturbed. And Prabhupada, he didn't say, oh, I'm so sorry. Prabhupada just spoke very soberly to her and said, look, everyone's got to die. Either you die today or you die later, but everyone's got to die. So just chant Hare Krishna and accept it. To another disciple who was dying, he wrote in a letter. She was dying, and Prabhupada wrote to her that pleasure is a misconception. No mollycoddling. That means patting, making them try to feel nice. She was in severe pain. Prabhupada wrote, pleasure is a misconception. The idea that you can be happy in this material world. No, there's no such thing. Just understand. Pleasure is a misconception. In this material world, the idea of pleasure is a misconception. The test of the guru. Gorky Shardas Babaji refused to initiate Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. Only when he saw his complete commitment to doing so that he agreed to do so. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur later explained, or he states, that I was thinking myself a very learned and moralistic person. Whereas Gorky Shardas Babaji was not very scholarly, largely illiterate, not very cultured or sophisticated according to the external point of view. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, on the order of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, took initiation from him. But Gorky Shardas didn't give easily. He didn't like to make disciples. Well, let's put it another way. He didn't give initiation very easily at all, because he expected that disciples would come to his level. His level was very difficult. He's Sakshad Vairagya Murti. So some people tried to imitate him. But to actually come to his level was very difficult. So we also have to see that if the prospective disciple is ready. I've here in the translation of this verse, Srila Prabhupada writes, inquire from him submissively. The word submissive exactly doesn't come in the Sanskrit, but as Srila Prabhupada often does in his translations, he weaves in some commentary. So the inquiry that it should be submissive, that is implied. Questioning, pariprashna. Questioning can be in a challenging way or out of curiosity. But one has to inquire with submission, with the faith, just like the same kind of faith that Arjuna had when he said to Krishna, Sarvam etad ritang manye yanmang vadasi Keshava, O Keshava, I accept as truth everything that you are telling to me. But Arjuna still questioned Krishna. It wasn't that he stopped questioning him, but he had faith that what Krishna says is true. But still he questioned him. Then why would you question if you don't think it's true? Because he wanted further clarification. You might accept that what someone says is true, but you can't understand why it's true. So for that reason, you may inquire more. Just like Arjuna inquired, he couldn't understand what Krishna said. Bahuni me veti tani janmani tava charjuna tanya hang veda sarvani mount. Natvang veta parantapa, yeah. He said, Krishna told Arjuna, both you and I have had many births. I can remember them, but you can't. And then Arjuna said, katame tad vijanayan tvado proktavaniti. That, how can I understand that you previously spoke, param janma vivasvataha, aparam bhavato janma param janma vivasvataha. How can I? You just told me that you spoke this message to the sun god, but he's much older than you. And I've known you all my life. I didn't see you jumping up to the sun. So, how? Katame tad vijani. How can I properly understand this? He didn't say that, oh, you're talking a lot of rubbish. Science tells us that it can't be possible. I learned in school. So he respectfully inquired, submissive inquiry. It was completely, he couldn't understand it, but Krishna, no, that came later. Bahuni mevyatitani, many, but yeah. And prior to that, he said that Krishna told him that I spoke this science, not that science, this science to the sun god. And then Krishna explained that both you and I have had many births, but you can not remember them, and I can remember them. So we have to see if someone's actually prepared to be a disciple. What are the terms and the conditions? What is the minimum qualification for initiation? Sometimes we hear devotees say, what's the minimum you have to do to go back to Godhead? It's a wrong question. Can I drink Coca-Cola and still... Krishna's very merciful. I don't think if you sometimes eat some Lay's chips and drink some Coca-Cola that Krishna will stop you going back. Hey, Krishna is very merciful. So, let's find out the minimum. The very question is the wrong question. It goes against the whole principle of Atma Samarpan. Anyway, what is the minimal qualification? In one letter, Srila Prabhupada wrote, to promise to follow the four prohibitive rules and nisheda, prohibitive rules, and to daily vidhi nisheda, and to daily chant 16 rounds means they cannot deviate. You can hold a fire yajna and inform them that in promising before the deity and before the spiritual master, one cannot later break the rules without being punished, just as in the law court one is held for perjury. So, from this we can understand that someone after initiation, if they break the four regulated principles, they don't only get punished for breaking the four regulated principles, but they get punished for perjury also. Perjury means that you tell lies in court. You put your hand on the Bible and say, I promise to tell what is it? The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. In the name of God. Yeah. It means there must be some Sanskrit term for this. This Nitya Pramana. Nitya Bhashan, something. But it's specifically having given a, having specifically said in the name of God not to do so. It's perjury. You can look it up in your Sanskrit dictionary. If we Prabhupada continues, if we simply follow these instructions, however, spiritual life becomes very simple and we can go back to Krishna in the spiritual world at the end of this life, which is the success of the human life. Okay, that's your minimum. 4 eggs, 16 rounds. Somehow or other, get it together, get initiated, and you're on the way back to Godhead. Well, there are other things to follow also. Srila Prabhupada told us so many things. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahavadanya Avatar, most merciful incarnation, avatar. But he also gave some, he said, all these rules. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just said to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nasteva, 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 Gatira Nyata. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said just to chant Hare Krishna, right? Wait a minute. What about all those rules in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? 64. Where did they come from? They came from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You'll find in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them to Rupa Goswami, who then later put them in his book as the vidhi. Vidhi, the rule. This must be done. Some may say, well, okay, that's vidhi. That's for vaidhi bhakti. But we're raganuga. Raganuga means following with attachment. So that means one has attachment for Krishna, not attachment for Coca-Cola, for instance. Or not attachment for anything other than serving Rupa Goswami, who is a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the test is there to see if one is prepared to follow. If someone is very proud, or pride may be, someone who's proud, maybe, but if they're arrogant, there's somewhat of a difference there. They're Dambo Darpa Bhimanascha. So, arrogant means to deal with people in a condescending manner. Ishvaroham bhav. Or looking down at people as if there's something, I'm much better than you. Well, that's pride, isn't it? But actually dealing with people like that is someone who's very arrogant and means they're not, in the sense that they're not really prepared to submit to the guru. If someone thinks, well, I'm qualified to be a disciple, then they're not qualified to be. It's mercy coming down. Many years ago, I in Bangladesh, the first Radha Krishna deities, the first public temple, Hindu temple, for want of a better term, as the public saw it, since 1947 was being established, since Bangladesh became part of, at that time, Pakistan. So we were establishing this temple. We were fortunate enough to be engaged in that service. So Jaya Bhattacharya Maharaj was giving initiation to one young Bangladeshi disciple, and he said to him, that actually you're not qualified for this Brahmagarni. He said, I'm qualified. Yogya was exactly the word. I am qualified. He immediately shot back, I am qualified. He did, without wasting a nanosecond to consider. He couldn't even finish the sentence. He said, you're not qualified, but anyway, I'm going to initiate you because we need some pujaris. Not a very good disciple, at least at that time. He went on in devotional service until he died. He died young. So if someone's very proud, or if they're very, there are various symptoms given, or characteristics which are given in the Hari Bhakti Vilas for both disciples and gurus, which very difficult seems nowadays for anyone to fulfill all of them. For the disciple, they probably have to be a pure devotee before they can even be a disciple. Have you seen? The qualifications are so exacting. But the guru should see that the disciples should not be lazy. They should be willing to serve Krishna. The name is given Das, Krishna Das. They should be willing to serve. There should be some life, some enthusiasm to serve Krishna. Not just, okay, I got my rounds done. Clicked a few here and clicked a few there, and it's okay. And in between cups of tea, I chanted my rounds. So, oh, not supposed to drink tea. Okay, well, let me get initiated first, and I'll give it up afterward. So this, the attitude has to be there. As Srila Prabhupada writes in his introduction to Srila Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita, or in his introduction to his edition with commentary of that, he writes that advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. So it's not expected that everyone has a completely surrendered attitude at the beginning. Although, actually, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Dikkakale bhakta kare ata samarpans. At the time of initiation, the disciple fully surrenders himself. Samarpana. Completely offers himself. So in that sense, we can understand that the real initiation is when one is really fully surrendered. Shekale Krishna Tare Kare Atasham. And at that time, Krishna accepts the devotee to be the same as himself, or on the same day. In other words, he accepts the devotee into his family or into his associates. So, initiation is all about Atma Samarpa. About fully giving oneself, offering oneself. That's an important word, offering oneself. Srila Prabhupada, once he was speaking on, I was there in Vrindavan at the time when Srila Prabhupada spoke on this, and he was speaking on Prahlad Maharaj's words. That the kind of things that materialistic people may do, and one of the words is that he becomes a sevaka, and Srila Prabhupada explained this, presumably following the previous acharyas, that someone will become just like a slave of someone, in order to get some something from them. And Srila Prabhupada gave the example. He said, still in the villages in India, I don't think this is going on now, but Srila Prabhupada must have seen this, that a person is in need of some money. So he approaches a rich man and says, I need this much money, 500 rupees. Nowadays, 500 rupees isn't that much. But in those days, it was a lot of money. I'm in need of this money. So you advance me this money, and in return, I'll be your servant for my whole life. Like that. And he becomes servant for the life means also the master has to feed him and clothe him and accommodate him. Otherwise, he can't serve the master. So, this is what the symptoms of surrender to Krishna, that faith that Krishna will maintain me, Krishna will protect me. Just like a man has a servant and he wants to see that the servant is healthy and has enough food, may want to see that he's properly clothed, because it doesn't look very good if someone comes from outside and sees all your servants are all in rags. It would make the master look like a very miserly person. At the same time, the servant shouldn't outdress the master. He has to remember his position. So these are all points to be understood in service. So if someone's very haughty and arrogant, then you may not want to initiate. I have at least one instance of someone who is very haughty and arrogant, and I didn't want to give initiation. Or someone who I didn't give initiation. And that's one good thing about ISKCON today, that you don't have to accept everyone. You can say, go and find another guru. There are plenty of gurus around. So there might be someone who's more merciful than me. Although my understanding of mercy is that you have to see who's ready to take the mercy in the form of instruction that can elevate them. If they're not ready to take the instruction, then what's the meaning? Then why instruct them? What is the meaning of testing the disciple? So if someone's very arrogant, means they're not ready to take instruction. Someone's very lazy, means they're not ready to take instructions. Especially in the West, many people, and it's increasingly coming in India, as everything in the West is increasingly coming in India. People have this idea that, I want everything right now. Yeah. Immediately. That I should, you just press a button and you get what you want, or win the lottery and become rich or something like this. But nothing worthwhile is attained without effort. And effort, it means gradually, over course of time. Or someone may take it the other way. I want everything right now. Okay, I'm taking initiation, so immediately I have to stop eating, or just eat next to nothing, or I have to immediately leave all my family is all Maya. I have to leave them. They may be all Maya, but your job is to make them Krishna conscious. And even if I'm going to leave all Maya behind immediately. But how many times have we seen someone, immediately, pure devotee, stop all eating, practically stop sleeping, eating, everything, and then collapse. So sadhana means it's a gradual process. One tries and goes on trying, shanai, shanai, uparamed, buddhya, dhriti, grihitaya, gradually, step by step. With intelligence and determination, one has to also pass the test. I'm chanting 100 rounds a day, 108 rounds a day, and I'm only eating one handful of butter, like this six Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami every day, and I've been doing it for 3 days, and open the gates of Vaikuntha. I'm proving I can do it. You may do it, but are you as humble as Raghunath? What's the use? Better to take full prasad to your full satisfaction, work hard for Krishna, and with all your, with all the defects from our conditioning, which everyone has, go on honestly serving Krishna, then become a big tyagi and puffed up. You see, I'm so much better than everyone else. I only eat one pat of butter every day, and these people, they're eating so much rice, and they're not very advanced. I'm very advanced. Then we have to remember the story of the Brahmana and the prostitute. That's given in Raja Vidya, I believe it is, that story. You know that story? Some prostitute, somehow she was living opposite a Brahmana, and he was saying, I'm a great devotee, I'm worshipping Shalagram, I'm chanting all these mantras. And he would see every time a customer came to the prostitute's house, he'd put a stone, so it became a big pile. He was thinking, oh, just see how you got it. You are in advance of me. Deko. Just see what a sinful person this is. And she's thinking, he's right. I'm so sinful. May Krishna deliver me. After all the hellish punishment I have to suffer, may one day Krishna be so kind as to deliver me, even though I'm not fit even to think of Krishna. So in the next life, when the Brahmana died, he became son of a prostitute, or maybe daughter of a prostitute, because he's always thinking of the prostitute. And the prostitute went back to Godhead, because she was thinking in a very humble way about Krishna. Now, that's not a recommended way of performing devotional service, but it may not even be a true story, but Prabhupada gives it just to demonstrate the principle that it's not by one's own effort or by thinking oneself very great that one can attain Krishna. Dhane jane pandityai krishnere nahipai. By wealth, social power, having many followers, or learning, one cannot attain Krishna. Kebal bhakti bosh chaitanya goshai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes under the control of devotees who have pure devotion to himself. So it's a gradual process, and initiation marks the beginning of our formal beginning of our growth. One must have grown to some extent, even to be sitting in the initiation ceremony. You must have grown from being a typical specimen of Kali Yuga, which most of us were, and coming to devotional service. So we're already making progress. It marks the formal entry into spiritual life. The Bhakti Lata Beej is planted in the heart. We have to go on watering it with the water of hearing and chanting. And we may say, what about serving? Well, it's the Bhakti Lata. So Bhakti itself means service. So by hearing and chanting in the association of devotees, our serving propensity, our propensity to serve Krishna, becomes nourished more and more and more. You don't plant a seed and it flowers the next day. That only happens in fairy stories. Right? You plant the seed and the next day it's all grown up. But it takes time, takes time. So be patient, enthusiastic, determined, patient, follow the guru. Shishya means follow the guru. Means one has to take the discipline, disciple, discipline, same as the shishya, shashan, take the instruction. One has to follow the guru, means one doesn't follow one's own mind or one's own feelings. Very dangerous. Feelings can be, feelings which are directed toward Krishna are very, that's very good, But that we can also be tricked by Maya into thinking that our feelings for Krishna are more developed than they actually are. We have to test that one has feeling for Krishna, but also how much there's non-feeling for Maya. Bhakti pareshanubhava viraktiranyatra. Bhakti is tested not only by our experiences of Krishna, but also how we are detached from other things. So means from things which are visualized or conceptualized as being for our enjoyment. So a detachment from anything except that in Krishna consciousness. So the sadhana process is to help us to become attached to Krishna and to become detached from everything else. We have rules. No eating of meat, fish or eggs. No gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. So these are rules that we have to follow. But when we're on the perfect platform, then virakti. Then we're automatically detached. We don't have the tendency to do that. The tendency is there in the conditioned soul, but the tendency has been completely transcended and left behind. But that means we have to strive also to overcome anarthas. We have to try. We have to do our work. We all have a lot of work to do. We shouldn't think that it'll just initiation means you get a blast of mercy and all of a sudden you're self-realized. This is another fairy story which Srila Prabhupada he scoffed at that. The idea that the guru touches you, you get an electric shock, you become unconscious, and then when you wake up, you see the guru's crying, and you are, why are you crying? Because I gave everything I had to you. This is a nonsense story told about one certain so-called Paramahamsa from Calcutta and his disciple who had no proper discrimination, even though by his name you might think he had some. Not to mention any names. So this is all nonsense. Yeah. It's a good word, bakwas. It just sounds right, doesn't it? Sounds. There's some good words in Urdu also. So be prepared to accept the test. It's a very happy thing. Brahmanda brahmite kono bhagyavan jeev. Guru Krishna prasade pai bhakti lata. It's a very happy thing that after so many lifetimes wandering around, sometimes a snake, sometimes a demigod, sometimes a fish. What's it like to be a fish? Don't even think about it. So many miserable forms of life. Now at last, oh, thank you, Krishna. Now I have the chance to engage in your service. So it's very happy. At the same time, it's very serious. So let us be very happy and very serious. These two things might seem not to go together. Today is a holy celebration, which has become a festival in the Western countries also. They discovered that in India, there's this festival where people throw colors on each other with abandon. And so it's become a festival there also. So it's pleasure, but it's not serious. It means the idea of pleasure, especially in the Western countries, there's this idea that you go out on Friday night and Saturday night and forget all your serious activities, you're working in your job all week. Just forget it all. Get drunk and shout and yell and scream and urinate on the sidewalk because you drunk so much. And it's all okay. It's all fine. It's pleasure. Yeah, that's another. Must be Urdu word. Maja, maja. But that's not ananda. That's something different. Yeah. It's just pleasure. Enjoy yourself. It gives the idea of enjoying yourself. So there's happiness. There is actual happiness in Krishna consciousness, but at the same time, it's very serious. So we find the most merciful incarnation of Godhead rejecting his dear disciple for even having a semblance of lust for a woman. Story of Chota Haridas. And Chota Haridas, he was so devastated, he couldn't get the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He committed suicide. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got the news, he said, Swakarma Falabhukpuma. Yeah, everyone has to get their karmic reaction. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is that verse? Vajradapi Kautorani, Kusumapi Kumal. Komal. So, this is the characteristic of great personalities. They can be as soft as a flower and as hard as a thunderbolt. So, we're dealing with Krishna. He's very merciful. We can make mistakes, he'll forgive them. But we should not deliberately make mistakes if we actually want to become devotees of Krishna. Hare Krishna. That is one lecture. And now there's another one about Brahminical life. Yeah, but we'll have a break. Those are, we're talking about Brahminical life. One of the main things is to, or one of the definitive things is to chant mantras at three sandhyas, and one, the midday sandhya is already over, so we should take a break and chant Gayatri, and you can all come back in 10 or 15 minutes and we'll continue the discussion. Hare Krishna. The next lecture won't be so long if you're thinking of skipping it. You never know, it might be, but it's not visualized as being so long. Ah, this has to be...